in answering questions for folk who've written questions, one of the questions had to do with the millennial reign of Christ. And I'm going to share some of that with you this morning. It lasts 1,000 years, and I've got about 15 minutes to 12. So I don't think I can cover 1,000 years in that length of time. I couldn't do it if I had an hour, if I had a week. And the more I've studied it over the last 3 or 4 weeks, the bigger it's got anyhow. I'm going to just share some highlights with you this morning. If you will, turn to Isaiah chapter number 11. I find this to be true, that a large majority of the Old Testament is pointing to two particular occurrences. One is the coming of Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. Psalms 22 talks about His death. Isaiah 53 talks about His death. Many prophecies about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ throughout the Old Testament, references to His birth and the city of Bethlehem and all those things. And then they look sometime beyond what you and I have seen as God revealed some things in so far as the end time thing to what we call the earthly kingdom of Christ on the earth. He is going to rule and reign on the earth. And that time period that we look at in the Bible is called the millennial, or the word millennium means 1,000. And it's 1,000 years. But now, to preface that, I'm going to read some scriptures. I'll promise you I'll not be long. No way I can go through all that I've got here to share with you, and it'll be over a period of time. But I want us to understand some things. Before I read this, God has a plan. Everybody say amen. Amen. This earth is no accident. There was a sequence of creation. He created such and such and such and such. He saw the evening and morning with the first day, the evening, morning, second day, so on. And there were special things. Now, God didn't just sit around one day and said, I think I'll do this. And after He did that, He thought another few minutes, and then He said, I think I'll create some birds, or I think I'll create this or that. And so on. And then finally He said, I think I'll make man. No, all that was in God's eternal wisdom in days before the foundation of the world. There was a sequence. He knew exactly when He was going to create. He knew exactly what He was going to create. And he did it, I believe, in a six-day period. And then on the seventh day, He rested, 24-hour day. He spoke into existence, that creation. And so I thank the Lord for that. And God's able to do all those things. But I'm telling you, God had a plan. Well, when it comes down to the coming of Christ, God had a plan. There was one city He was going to be born in. There was one woman that God had already chosen to be His mother. Her name was Mary. And after she was born and she became of age, and God's the fullness of time, God sent His Son. And so God had a plan. The Lord Jesus Christ was arrested and put to trial and crucified at a particular time. And God already had it planned. He was buried and rose again. God already had that plan. He ascended back to heaven. That was in God's plan. One of these days, He's coming back. 1 Thessalonians says the Lord Himself should ascend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. The dead in Christ are going to rise first. Then we which are alive remain shall be caught up together to meet them in clouds, to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these things. The next event on God's timetable is the rapture of the church. That's what I just quoted, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. It is imminent. It can happen at any time. And there's not one thing to be fulfilled before He came, and only in His eternal wisdom does He know when it's going to be. Be ye also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. I know He's coming soon. That's the rapture. If you look at the study of the Word of God, you'll find that when we leave out of here, we're going to go be with the Lord. But then there's a 7-year period. It's called the 70th week of Daniel. Daniel prophesied and prophesied those series of weeks in regard to the nation of Israel. And the 70th week of Daniel is a period of 7 years. You've heard the reference many times. It's called the tribulation period. In that tribulation period, there are sequence of things that's going to take place. Nothing will take the Lord by surprise. He's already prophesied it in the Bible, that 7-year period. This world right now is in turmoil. They are trying to have one world system, one world government. There's a cry for peace and everything. And when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back and takes this world takes the saints of God out of this world, there's going to be the awfulest chaos you could ever imagine. I mean, you take every Christian pilot out of an airliner, what happens? You take all the Christian doctors out of this nation, what happens? And around the world, all the influence of godly people in churches and in every level of society, all the Christian influence is gone just like that. And then that 7-year period begins. During that time, a world leader will arise. We call him the Antichrist. He'll become really the world ruler. And to establish peace, one of the hotbeds of confusion, of course, is in the Middle East and Israel, the Arab nations and all that. And so he'll work a covenant among all of them. And one of the key issues there now is that the Jews are anxiously awaiting to rebuild their temple. They have been planning on that forever. If you do the internet, most of you knew, you can go and you can just Google the Jewish temple. You could go to breakingnewsisrael.com, and you'll see some amazing things are happening. I shared with the men yesterday that right now in Israel, they have been planning for years. They've got the clothing for the high priest. They've got all the things ready. They have prepared an earthen altar for offering sacrifice. And on August the 29th, the Sanhedrin in Israel elected the first high priest that they've had since in 70 A.D. They elected a high priest. Why? Because they fully believe that before long they'll be able to worship in their temple and they're going to be able to offer sacrifices again. Now, what happens after the rapture of the church is one of the first things that Antichrist does is he makes a covenant between Israel and their neighbors and he allows Israel to rebuild the temple. They've got everything ready. They can have it up in a matter just a very short time. But the Bible says that when they finish that temple, the one who they thought was their friend and he deceived the nations, he'll walk into that temple, he'll defile the temple, he'll call himself to be God. And then begins the time we call the Great Tribulation. It's a time when God pours out his wrath on the earth, Antichrist's wrath is demonstrated, and all those horrible things take place. But after the 7-year period, things will escalate and get worse and worse by the end of the tribulation period. The Bible said, except those days should be shortened, no flesh would be saved. But what happens at the end? It's that great battle of Armageddon. The Lord Jesus Christ will come back with his saints and he'll judge the nations. That's where you read about that valley of Megiddo where the blood will flow to the horse's bridle. Great judgment. He comes back. He'll come. And when he stands on the Mount of Olives, it will split. And it'll be a river that flows out of that. It'll flow to the Dead Sea. It'll flow to the Mediterranean Sea. And then he'll begin what we call the millennial reign. He'll reign on this earth for 1,000 years. Now, that's what we're talking about. Now, is it real? Is it literal? Is it figurative? I believe that it's real. I believe that he will literally rule and reign on this earth for 1,000 years. I want to read you some scripture in regard to that, and you'll see the connection. Notice in chapter number 11 of the book of Isaiah, and as it begins, he said, "And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, a branch shall grow out of his roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge after the sight of eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of the ears. But with righteousness shall he judge the poor and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. And the righteous shall be righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. The wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall feed. Their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like an ox, and the suckling child shall play on the hole of an asp, and the weaned child shall put his hand in the cockatrice's den. And there shall not hurt there shall not hurt nor destroy in my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. For the sake of time, I'm not going to read the rest of that. I do want you to turn to a New Testament passage, though. Turn to the book of Matthew. Matthew and chapter number 6. It's what we call the Lord's Prayer or the model prayer. And I want you to see just a statement in this prayer. Matthew chapter 6, and he teaches the disciples, and he said, you pray after this manner. Verse number 8, and he said this. Verse number 9, after this manner, therefore pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth, as it is in heaven. There's a prayer that the Lord told his disciples to pray. He said, you pray for the kingdom. Pray for the kingdom to come. And now I go to the book of Revelation. Go to chapter number 20 in the book of Revelation, and let's look at this particular passage of Scripture where we get the truth of the millennial reign of Christ. Revelation, I begin at verse number 4. Revelation chapter 20, verse 4. And I saw thrones and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Now this that I'm reading to you chronologically, the chapters previous to that, have described the tribulation period, the rise of Antichrist, the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ in the battle of Armageddon, and then this scene. And they shall live, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, and they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. I could go on, but I'll not go on. He says that at the end of that 1,000 years, Satan will be loosed. What is this all about? What's it mean, 1,000-year reign of Christ on the earth? Why? Why didn't he just say, this is it, we're through, we're just going to all go to heaven? First of all, let me say to you this, the millennium is not heaven. If you die as a Christian, Brother Jesse, we had his funeral yesterday, and just last week, he went home to be with the Lord. The Bible said, absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Well, the Bible said the Lord Jesus Christ ascended back into the very presence of God, into the third heaven, and there he's seated at the right hand of the Father. That's where he's at. And he prayed, Father, I pray that they might be where I am, they might hold my glory. And so if you die and you're saved, you go into the very presence of the Lord, into what we call heaven, and you'd be there. And those who are in heaven now have consciousness, they have knowledge, they enjoy the blessings of God, and they're there and having a wonderful time. But now, when you come to this passage of Scripture, the Lord Jesus Christ says he's going to come and rule and reign on the earth. He's going to be reigning, but it's not what we call heaven because it's going to be different. Those that are in heaven, they're going to come back. And we'll talk a few minutes about who gets to go in, who goes into the millennial reign of Christ. But I want to answer the question, why the millennial reign of Christ? Number one, he answers the reason for the rule and reign of Christ is to fulfill his promise and prophecies in the Old Testament. He's prophesied to Israel that they would have all of that land. And he gave dimensions of that in what's called the Palestinian and the Davidic covenant or the Abrahamic covenant. He gave some dimensions of that land that they would possess. They've never yet and all of his possessed all that land. They came close in the 67 war, but they have gradually given a large portion of that back. But he's going to keep his promise. And that's why the whole Old Testament, now Lord talks about the coming of Christ in his birth and suffering and death and his ascension back, but it also talks a great deal about the kingdom reign of Christ on the earth. Because he made a promise to Abraham. He said, look at the sands. He said, your seed will be like the sands of the sea and like the stars in heaven. And that promise is to Abraham and the father of the Jewish nation. And he promised that you one day will dwell peaceably in that land and own all of that land. That's going to happen in the
millennial reign of Christ. They're going to have all of that land. They're going to own all of that land. They're going to be able to enjoy the benefits of all that land. But then it's also to reward the saints of God. I read to you a passage of scripture here about those who were beheaded for the cause of Christ. But you remember now, in the rapture, every saint of God has been resurrected. All the saints have already gone on to heaven. And when the Lord Jesus Christ came back in the rapture, so they come back and we're back with him. But now, because of people's faithfulness, he said that if you suffer with him, you'll reign with him. And so because of your service of the Lord, because you've been saved, he will allow us to live in this world on that millennial reign of Christ as a special reward. You've been faithful over a few things. He said, I'll make you rule over many things. And I believe that if we study the Word of God, you'll see that God assigns some responsibilities during that millennial reign of Christ. And it's kind of rewards that he gives to them. Enjoy that. And what a blessing that would be. That promise to that. But then it is a promise to Israel that they'll have that. And in fulfillment of the Davidic prophecy or the Davidic covenant, he promised that one day David would rule over Israel again. And so literally during the millennial reign of Christ, under the rulership of Christ, that David will get to rule. Now, so many other things I could say, but I want to hurry on right quick. What about it? What's it going to be like? If you're saved by the grace of God, when Jesus comes in the rapture and you're still living, your body's going to be changed. You'll be caught up to meet your loved ones in the air, and then we'll be with the Lord for that great period of time, long period of time, before we come back in at the end of the tribulation period. And it's a time of blessing. You'll experience in that joy. But when we come back to the earth, one of the reasons he's coming back is to remove the curse. When Jesus died for you, he bought you body, soul, and spirit. And the reason he resurrects a body and makes it brand new, and the reason he changes our mortal bodies is because he's not going to let the devil have any victory whatsoever. And the same thing's true of this world that he created. The devil has wrecked and ruined this world. But God, the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back. The curse will be removed. When we were up in camp meeting, Brother Tom Robertson there in Luray, Virginia, that beautiful Shenandoah National Forest, those beautiful mountains up there. We went up on, I think, Tuesday or Wednesday morning. The guys, the preachers and all, rode up on top of the mountain. We had a prayer meeting up on top of that mountain. You can see all across those valleys. And on a clear day, you can see all the way into West Virginia from up there. And all that beauty and all the beautiful flowers and everything. And yet we all made comment. It's hard to believe this is under the curse of God. When Adam sinned, God cursed the ground for Adam's sake. But during the millennial reign, the curse is going to be removed. When God created animals, they ate vegetation. And then because of the curse, they became carnivorous. But he'll change the nature of the animals. I read that to you a while ago. The nature of the animals will be changed. They'll be docile. They'll not be the bear and the lion and all those things. They'd be like house pets. And all of nature will be changed. We've never seen beauty like we'll see during the millennial reign of Christ. He'll rule and reign out of Jerusalem. And that'll be the center of the world. There'll be worldwide peace. There'll be worldwide joy. Longevity of man's going to be restored. It's going to be a wonderful time when he rules and reigns on the earth for those 1,000 years. And we'll get to rule and reign with him. It'd be activity. Be activity. And, you know, there's a time, the Bible says, that the sea, the salt of that sea, the Dead Sea, will be used to salt the fish. So you know what that means? It means somebody's going to get to do some fishing. Praise God. I believe the brim of bed every day during the millennial reign of Christ. Amen. And I believe we won't be in trouble catching bass. We get to eat those fish. But it's going to be a wonderful time. Can you imagine living in a world? Imagine the most beautiful place you've ever been. Maybe you've been up to the Biltmore House and walked through those gardens. Maybe some of the large gardens around here. The beautiful scenes of our scenery in North Carolina and out west and other places. You see all that beauty. That's nothing compared to what it's going to be like when God takes the curse off his ground. And when he removes it, it's going to be like you could never imagine. And you'll be conscious. You'll know it. And you'll be a bit. And the the Word of God teaches that there will be a worldwide worship of the Lord, and the knowledge of the Lord will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. We get in a revival in here, and it's almost like heaven. We hate to even leave and go back to work on Monday morning. Hate to go back to school. Hate to get back out in the world. But can you imagine living in a world where everywhere you went, the Lord Jesus Christ was honored and worshiped and loved, and the spirit of joy was everywhere? He's going to keep His promise. He's going to take away the curse of this earth, and we'll rule and reign with Him for 1,000 years on this earth. Who gets to go? Who gets to go? First of all, lost people will not enter the millennial reign of Christ. When the Lord Jesus Christ comes back, when He comes back, the Bible says that those who know Christ, those who know Christ will enter that millennial reign of Christ. But there's a great judgment. If a man dies lost, he's lost for all eternity. But if you have a loved one who's died and they were saved, at the rapture they'll be resurrected, have a new body, they get to go into the millennial reign of Christ. And let's say, I don't have time to deal with all this. But there's going to be a unique situation. There are going to be humans living in there. Israel, redeemed of Israel, will be there. During the tribulation period, many of them will believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And they'll be able to go into the millennial reign of Christ as humans. Matter of fact, if you study, and we'll go through, and I don't have time to deal with that, there will be reproduction during those days. There'll be children born in the millennial reign of Christ. But there'll be a unique situation there. But like everything else, only those who know the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there's a long, more detailed study about those who are actually going to be born during the tribulation period. But I'm just saying this to you. The Bible said, "He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth upon him." And the Bible says this, "He that spared not his own son, but delivered up freely for us all, how shall he not also freely by him give us all things?" Everything God wants to bless us with comes through the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you don't have Jesus, you miss it. Now you say, "Brother Billy, what about the millennium? I sure would like to go into that." There's a lot of things going to happen between now and the millennial reign of Christ. And if you're in the sound of my voice right now, there's only one thing that you need to know. You need to know that you're saved. None of that, if I had time this morning to go in great detail and talk about the removal of sickness and all those things that's going to happen there, the restoration of sight, no lame limbs during the millennial reign of Christ, no hearing impairment, no blindness, no deformities. All those things will be real. Live in a world where you don't have to see it. People say, "Why is there such suffering?" You won't see that during the millennial reign of Christ. Sickness will be removed. But listen, the thing that counts right now is this. That's a long ways off. So far as you're concerned, the main issue right now is that you need to be saved. You need to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. People talk about this, that, and the other. They want to ask you about all kinds of angels and everything. And those things are interesting. Angels are real. Demons are real. Ghosts are real. I mean, not ghosts, but demons are real. The Holy Ghost is real. But my dear friend, what really makes the difference is this. He that hath Christ, he that hath the Son, hath life. Amen. And if you don't have Jesus, nothing else matters. And right now, you need to know Christ more than anything in the world. If you're not saved here this morning, you're facing not a millennial reign of Christ where the curse is removed. But if the rapture occurred right now, you'd go into what we talked about earlier, the tribulation period. It'd be a horrible time. Rivers are turned to blood. Demons released out of the bottomless pit to torment men. Peace taken completely out of the world. Worldwide famine. It's going to be a horrible, horrible time. And the Bible said it would be so severe, and God's judgment so severe, that people will beg to die and not be able to die. The most awful thing you can ever imagine. And then when they do die during that time, and when they are put to death, maybe, or executed, if they're not saved, they'll be in hell for all eternity. That's an awful thing. My dear friend, the thing is this. You need to know Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord. You say, "Brother Bill, I can't understand all that." Can I tell you, it's awesome, it's a blessing, and you can know just enough to bless you, but I don't believe anybody's got all the answers. You understand? But I can tell you this 100% sure. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And if you get saved, you get to live forever. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoso believed in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. And the key right now, listen, you think things are bad now. People are afraid of martial law. They're afraid of Islam taking over America and horrific things happening like happened in other places. And it's probably coming. But my dear friend, what you need to do more than anything else is that you're saved. He made a promise, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. And He said in Psalms, He said, David said this, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. For Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You understand what I'm saying? You could study the rapture of the church. You could study the tribulation period, the millennial reign of Christ, the new heaven, the new earth. And all those things are exciting and wonderful. But none of that will affect you. I mean, it won't help you. It won't bless you unless you first know for sure that you're saved. You need to be saved. I'm talking about right now. I'm talking about every young person. Every member of Benson Grove Baptist Church, you better know that you've got something besides church membership. You better know that you've got something besides a baptismal certificate. You'd better know that you're saved, because this whole thing is fixed to come off the rim. It's fixed to blow sky high. I don't care what kind of treat. I don't care who gets elected. It's not going to get better. It's going to get worse. And you better be ready to meet God, because the clock is ticking. Those Jews know it. They've got everything laid out. They're ready to rebuild that temple and start their sacrifices. My dear friend, listen. Be ye also ready, for in such an hour as you think not the Son of Man cometh. I want us to bow together for prayer this morning. And I've hit just a few high spots and probably had you more confused than you were when you got here. But trust me, I can say this beyond any shadow of a doubt. What matters now? All those things are interesting. The rapture, He's going to descend. He'll take us out, take the saved people out. But if you're not saved, you won't get to go. You'll have to stay here through the tribulation period. And I want you to know for sure that you're saved. You need to know for sure that you're saved. Not that you're just a church member, not that you've been baptized. You need to know 100% sure that you're saved and be ready for whatever's fixing to happen. It all happened. We'll all be part of His plan. He's got a plan. But right now His plan is this. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. If you'll come to Him, he that cometh to me, He said, I'll in no wise cast out. You need to come to Him. Need to know for sure you're saved. Know for sure that you're going to be with Him for all eternity. And whatever's going to happen, the way everything works out, it's hard for us to comprehend it all. But the main thing is this, you know right now that you're saved, and we're leaving it all up to Him. We trust in Him. I wonder this morning, if you could say beyond any shadow of a doubt, Brother Billy, if I died right now, I know I'd go to heaven. If Jesus came right now in the rapture of the church, I'd get to go. I know I'm saved. Would you raise your hand as a testimony to the Lord? Nobody's looking around. We just raise our hands together and glorify God. Thank you so much. I'll be honest with you, I didn't even look. That's between you and God. But I want to ask you a question now. If you didn't raise your hand, what are you waiting for? The Bible said at the rapture of the church, for those who've heard the gospel, the door's closed. For this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, they might believe a lie, that they might all be damned who believed not the truth. If you've heard the gospel and you've not accepted, you've not believed, if the Lord Jesus Christ were to come today, you don't have another chance. Oh, you say, Brother Billy, 7 years. No, you will never repent. You'll never trust Him as Savior, that they might all be damned who believe not the truth. You have an opportunity to believe right now. Today is the day of salvation. Today's the only day I can assure you that you can be saved is right now today. But I promise you, according to the authority of the Word of God, today is the day of salvation. If you call Him right now, now's the accepted time. He'll save you right now in the radio audience, internet audience, wherever you are. You need to be ready to meet the Lord. All the things about the rapture, I've tried to visualize what it might be like in my own mind. I've tried to even sense the sensation of rising. I mean, being changed in a moment, a twinkling of an eye, every pain gone, every physical infirmity gone, and be raptured into His presence and have the joy of seeing friends and family that's already there. What, wow, I can't imagine what it's going to be, but I've tried. I've wondered what it would be like to walk on this earth without a curse on it. He cursed the ground, it brought forth thorns and thistles, to be able to walk anywhere you want to in this world and have no thorns or thistles. Be able to walk among the wildlife of Johnson County or anywhere else in the world, and they be docile like house pets. Be able to walk up to them and pet them and rub them and be with them. Just to see the beauty. I mean, it's such a fragrance. I've been in places like Charleston when those the Confederate jasmine and all were blooming, and walk in the cool of the morning. Oh, such a fragrance. To walk in a world where that's everywhere. There's no stench. There's no impurities. There's no pollution. And it's all perfect, in a perfect environment, pristine, with the curse removed. I've tried to imagine what that would be like. I can only imagine that. But I can tell you one thing, when a lost sinner bows and asks Jesus Christ to save them, I can tell you what that's like. At least it was for me. It's like a burden's gone, a heavy lifting. The guilt is gone. There's a joy and a peace that comes in your life that you've never known. And you can know that through Jesus Christ today. I beg you in Jesus' name, call on Him, repent of your sin, and trust Him right now. For those in the building, when in just a moment Brad's going to sing a song or whatever God leads him to do. And we're going to have you to come. If you're in here and you don't know for sure you're saved, I want you to know for sure today you're saved. Let somebody take the Bible, pray with you. Men will pray with the men. Ladies, pray with the ladies. Be somebody here to pray with you. I'm telling you right now, the clock is ticking. The Israel's ready. They've got everything ready. That temple will not be rebuilt until after we are gone, and they are ready to break ground now. I'm telling you, they know something's fixing to happen. They're ready. Are you ready? Are you ready for the rapture? If you're a Christian here today, if we're ever going to do anything for God, now's the time. This is the fourth quarter. This is the last few minutes of the fourth quarter. We need to do what we're going to do for Jesus. Don't want to have anything between our soul and the Savior. You ready to meet Him just exactly like you are? Anything in your heart ought not to be there, you ought to get it out. Be clean before Him this morning. I want us to stand together with our heads bowed for a moment. Dear Lord Jesus, You're such an awesome God. Our Father, we can't fully grasp the concept of salvation. Lord, the great price that was paid for us to be saved. Our Father, we know that You got a plan. Our Father, to try to imagine what it'll be like to experience the rapture, the horrors of the tribulation, the wonders and majesty of Your millennial reign on this earth when You rule and reign upon the earth. Our Father, no way for us to comprehend that. No way to understand what the new heaven, new earth, the holy Jerusalem be like other than what we see in the Word of God. But Lord, one thing we can know the free pardon of sin, the joy of sins forgiven, and the blessed joy comes from knowing Jesus. And I pray, God, that, Lord, boys and girls, men and women today would experience that. Our Father, I ask by the Holy Ghost of God to do that I cannot do. I pray, God, You'd convict of sin, righteous judgment, and draw them by Your grace. And I pray, God, that they'd be saved today. Radio audience, internet audience, and here in the building. And I pray, God, Your people, our Father, would look to You for real revival. God, they'd seek Your face. And our Father, we might be excited. We might be ready.